Good morning, and we are certainly glad to have you with us today as we're back in our study in the Gospel according to John at the end of chapter 4. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity to open your word. We ask that you bless us to the hearing of our listeners and that you might guide us in all things said. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 4. We have already looked at the passage concerning Samaria and that woman at the well that came to know Christ as her Savior and went and told other people who in turn received Christ as their Savior, as the Messiah that had been the one that Israel had been waiting, and yet here were ones in that area of Samaria as well, receiving Him as the coming Messiah. Well, now we see in verse 43 to the end of the chapter, let's just read the first few verses. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So we see here in the first few verses of this little section here, we see how he went back north to Galilee. If you go back to chapter 2, we see where that first miracle of turning the water to wine. And then now we see here after the beginning of the chapter when he spent some time in Samaria, after he had left Judea, which was south of Samaria, and Galilee is north of Samaria. So in these three areas or providences, you might say, of Israel, we see how the Lord is working. But here, in verse 43, 44, and 45, as we read, he mentions about how a prophet has no honor in his own country. Let's think about this. The very statement has been said, familiarity breeds contempt. To be familiar with someone sometimes does breed contempt. You know, when we live our lives in a certain area, we're around certain people, people we've grown up with, family, friends, people we've gone to school with, and yet they know us better than anyone. They may have seen the things that we have done as an unbeliever. They may have seen us at our worst times, even as a believer, if we have done something that wasn't honoring to our Lord. So people that know us the best, they sometimes are the last to receive the message that you give. Now, of course, here we're speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin, this one who was not a sinner, yet he said a prophet hath no honor in his own country. We would look at some passages when one would say, is this not Joseph's son? They would say, is this not the one, this the carpenter's son? He's nothing special. Yet here, we see, when we say the very thing of the familiarity breeds contempt, sometimes the very opposite comes. For when people know us and they know how lost we were in our sins, people that have had a terrible background perhaps, yet then when the Lord saves them, sometimes then they are the ones that the people listen to the most, for they have seen such a tremendous change in their life once Christ has saved them. So we can see how it works two ways, but the Lord himself said that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. So we see here, as you would go back to Deuteronomy 16:16, that all the males of Israel would go up for 3 times a year to be there at the appropriate appointed times of the year. And we see is now, he's in Galilee. We could connect that with Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. This connects with Isaiah 61 when the Lord is reading from that particular passage when he was asked to read there in the synagogue. And we see how when he was in Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, we see that he was reading that passage in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them were on him in the synagogue. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He was declaring that he was the very one that the Old Testament was speaking of. And they reacted by saying, is not this Joseph's son? He said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. So we see back there in Luke, there is another circumstance of when one despised him instead of accepting him, for they had known who he was, they thought, but they would not receive the fact that he was the very one, the coming Messiah, the one that would save the people from their sins. So as we go back to John chapter 4, we see that's the situation. And then we would also realize in Philippians 2, it speaks of how our Lord left glory, and he made himself of no reputation. You see, he wasn't coming to set up a kingdom at that time, as he will in the future. And the people did not want to accept him as the king of Israel, the king of the Jews, if he wasn't going to have a kingdom at that time. He came in an humble way. He came in such a fashion to where he was going to give himself upon the cross. And he was going to give his life as a ransom for many. Yet here we see, as we go through this particular portion, let's pick up in verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believeth the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Well, we see this man came approximately 25 miles. He was one looking for help. Yet if we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and pick up over there at verse 22, we see a little bit of an explanation of what the Lord says here. He says, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Well, in 1 Corinthians 1:22, it says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So we see here that certain ones would want a sign. They'd want miracles. They'd want something they could physically see. Yet this was the one coming to die for the sin of the world. So we see here this miracle. We see here the nobleman speaking of his son that was sick. And he said, come down ere my child die. Well, the Lord sent him off and said, go thy way, thy son liveth. And this man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. What do we see here? A man, a nobleman, meaning royalty. His royalty could not save his son. His surroundings could not help. He had to seek one who could do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. He had to seek the very Lord himself. So we see here a man of faith. If you were to turn to the book of Hebrews and read verse 1 of chapter 11:1 gives a definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. this man went on believing that his son would be made well. So as we see the Lord Jesus sending this man off to be with his son, let's turn also to Luke chapter 7 and see a comparison here. Pick up Luke 7 and verse 2. We see here, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. When he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. When he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Here, what another picture we have in comparison to John 4. Someone had come seeking help from the Lord Jesus, and the Lord didn't have to go back and physically be in the very presence, as we think of it, with the one that was sick. He merely gave it a word that they would be healed. And we see here faith, one that did not have to see it to believe it, but yet believed it and then went home to rejoice in it. So here we see what is true faith. Back to John chapter 4, let's pick up at verse 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed in his whole house. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So here we see in verses 51 on down to the end of the chapter, the confirmation. We see what the Lord had said had come to pass. Think of Genesis 1 in the creation. And God said each day, and God said, and God said. When God speaks, something happens. We see that the world, the earth and the creation was spoken into existence. Here we see, such as in Luke chapter 7, when the Lord speaks, what he says will come to pass. So just like the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, the man and his house, his family, believed. We see here a great story of conversion, a great story of faith, a great story that shows one of the some seven miracles in the book of John. We just pray that if there's one listening today that has not had faith, that this one, the Lord Jesus, can take your sin away. We see in the book of John abundant evidence of him being the true Messiah, God manifest in the flesh, the one who could not only do miracles to the people in a physical way, yet above that, he was the one that came to die on the cross for the sin of the world. If you have any comments or questions, contact us. We'd be glad to talk to you about them in connection with the scriptures. PO Box 689 in Ramsford, North Carolina. If you have any comments about the scripture, we may be of assistance to you. For Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody, The Two Roads and Two Destinies, Radio Ministry.